Hi, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Baba Basra, daf Kuf Ayin Aleph. We left off Kuf Ayin a little bit more than halfway down, but Kuf Ayin Amabez is a very, very short daf. We had seen the Mishnah yesterday towards the end of the shiur about the proper procedure for what happens if a person loans someone an amount of money, let's call it $100, and the Lova pays back 50 of the $100, so the Lova partially repays the loan. So the question is, what happens now? So the Malva originally has a shtar for $100, now the Lova paid back 50. So do you take back the original shtar from the Malva, give the Lova a replacement shtar for $50, or do we allow the Malva to keep his shtar for $100, and do we write the Lova a receipt that he paid back the $50? So we saw a machlokas in the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda had said Yachlif. Rav Yehuda said that we swap out the shtaros, we replace the $100 shtar with a $50 shtar for the malva. And Rabbi Yossi argued, and Rabbi Yossi said, no, we just write a shover, we don't actually switch out the shtaros. And then we left off yesterday with the sheet of Rav, who had said that the halacha is not like Rav Yehuda, the halacha is not like Rav Yossi, but I say that Beis Din rips up the shtar and replaces the malva shtar with a $50 shtar. So from the statement of Rav, we learned that when Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah tells us that we replace the shtar, we don't mean that Beis Din replaces the shtar. What we mean is that the Edim actually write a replacement shtar, whereas Rav Yossi said, no, you write a shover. And Rav said, how are these Edim able to write a replacement shtar? That's not something that Edim are able to do. Rather, Beis Din does it. We saw yesterday, right at the end of this year, how is Rav able to argue? Rav is an Amora. This is a Machlokas Tanoam in the Mishnah. And the Rashbam brought down the famous maxim that we see many times in Shas, that Rav Tanahu Apolig, Rav never accepted the Kabbalah that most of the other people of his generation accepted, to no longer argue with Tanam. So it's not like you're not allowed to argue with Tanam. You might have a view that is more supportable than the view of the Tanam that's expressed in the Mishnah. However, most of the Amoraim of his generation accepted the Kabbalah not to argue. He never did. That's why he was able to argue. Okay, so in today's shiur, we're going to delve a little bit deeper into the machlokas between Rav and Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi. Why Rav would hold that the Beis Din is able to rip up the shtar, but unlike Rav Yehuda, that the Edim are not able to rip up the shtar and replace it. What the fundamental machlokas is between the shitos of Rav and Rav Yehuda on the one hand and Rav Yossi on the other hand. And then we're going to talk on the bottom of Kuf Ayin Aleph Amid Aleph over to Kuf Ayin Aleph Amid Beis. We're going to talk a lot about a shtar mu'ucha, or a shtar which is post-dated. So, and we'll talk about whether a post-dated shtar is going to be pasul or kosher. Maybe it depends on whether it's a shtar halva or a shtar mekach. We're going to talk about a shtar that on its face doesn't necessarily appear to be post-dated, but when you actually focus on the date in the shtar, it comes out that it has to have been post-dated. And we'll see also that the whole machlokas that we're going to see in the Gemara about whether we're concerned about a post-dated shtar turns on whether we write a shover or not. That's why this whole conversation is brought down here. Okay, so let's start Kuf Ayin Amud Beis. Let's start with 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom. Second to last word on the line, Amar Le. So the first word on the line is Vekosvin. We will pick up from the second to last word on the line, Amar Le Rav Nachman L'Rav Huna. So says Rav Nachman to Rav Huna, Varmi Le Rav Yirmiya Bar Abba L'Rav Huna, Ishmiya Le Rav HaBraisa. If Rav had heard the following Braisa, D'Tanya Edim Mekarin Es Hashtar Vekosvin Lo Shtar Acher Mizman Rishon, that if the Malva has $100 shtar and the Lova pays back $50, then the Edim to the original loan can rip up the $100 shtar and replace it with a $50 shtar from the Zman Rishon, from the original date of the Alva. Why is this important that they write it Mizman Rishon? So the Rashbam explains that it has to be Mizman Rishon because it's from the Zman Rishon that the Malva is able to be Torif Melekuchos. Let's say if the loan takes place on July 12th, and some point after July 12th, the Lova sells Karka. So when the Malva goes to the Lova to be paid back, if the Lova doesn't have any Nechasim, but if this was a Milva Bishtar, and the Lova has in the interim sold karka, then the Malva is allowed to go to the Lekukos of the Lova, and the Malva is allowed to collect his chov. So therefore, you understand why if the loan was made on July 12th, and then on August 12th, the loan was partially repaid, if you're going to write a replacement shtar, you would want that shtar to be dated July 12th. Because otherwise, you would only be able to collect from Lekuchos who bought from the Lova after August 12th, which is not really even the date of the loan. So we're going to see how come we're not afraid. Generally speaking, even though post-dated shtaros are kosher-ish, according to some, predated shtaros, if you backdate a shtar, that is definitely possible according to everybody, because what you're doing is you're giving the malve koach to go and seize karka from the lova even before the date of the original loan. And the obvious answer is that this isn't a predated shtar. This is not a backdated shtar at all, because there was actually a shiba that took place that was created on the original date of the alva. But anyway, the point of this is, Had Rav heard this brisa, he definitely would have retracted his view, because the brisa says explicitly, "Tanya edim akarin es hashtar v'kos v'lo shtar acher mizman rishon." Hava hadarbe, he would have retracted his view. And whose view is this? This is obviously the view of Rav Yehuda in the Mishnah, who says that the edim have the ability to rip up the shtar and replace it with a shtar in the new amount of the alva. So Amar Lei, so Rav Huna said, "No, in fact, you are wrong. Shmi alei v'lo hadarbe." Rav knew this brisa, Rav heard this brisa, nevertheless, he did not retract his view. So why did he not retract his view? Because he made the following distinction. Bishlama Beidina Alima Lavkuim Amona. I understand Beistin has the power to rip up a $100 star and replace it with a $50 star, because generally speaking, Beistin has a certain power to be mafkia mamon from one person to another. And what is this? This is obviously the power that we're very familiar with of Hefker Beistin Hefker, explains the Rashbam, that we learned originally in Maseches Gittin. Now, why is this a concept of Hefker Beistin Hefker? It's a concept of Hefker Beistin Hefker for the reason that we just mentioned, that min adin, when you write a shtar, you're only able to use a date that is the date on which the shtar is written. Here, however, we're talking about Beistin ripping up the shtar and replacing the shtar that's backdated a date that previously passed. And therefore, if we are dealing with a special type of shtar that for whatever reason, and it's a good reason, but for whatever reason is able to be predated, then that cannot be accomplished by Edom alone. That can only be accomplished by a basin, which can act in a formal capacity with the support of the concept of Hefker Basin Hefker in order to make it happen. So, but Ella Edom, and on the second line, Ella Edom Sha'asu Shlichusan Chosrim Vioslan Shlichusan. But Edom, they had one shlichus to do. Their shlichus was to write the shtar and to be mayed on the original shtar. They already did that. So Edom, after they do their shlichus, they could go and they could do another shlichus. They could go and they could be dispatched unknowingly to perform another shlichus, to write another shtar now. So says the Gemara, Velo, what is it, a real problem? That if the Edom are supposed to be made on the Halva, and the Alva was partially repaid, that the Edom shouldn't be able to go back and write another shtar? Why not? Va'amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. But Rav Yehuda Amar Rav says, Edom kosvin afilu asara shtaros shel al-sada achas, that the Edom can write even 10 shtaros on a single sada. In other words, if a person is in possession of property, and it turns out that he lost his shtar, then Edom are allowed to write multiple duplicate shtaros on the property. As the Rashbam says, Mishavad shtaro, if a person loses a shtar, v'yemer le'edim kisfuli acher, and he says to the Edom, write me another shtar, chosrim v'kosvim afilu asara shtaros, v'mavdu zeh achar zeh, that they can write even 10 shtaros if the guy loses his shtar. So says the Gemara. So Rav Yosef Omer b'shtar matana. The Edom can write as many shtaros as you want. If we're talking about a shtar matana, what's the kunz of a shtar matana? So the Rashbam explains that a shtar matana doesn't have achrayas nechasim. That by a shtar matana, there is no concern that the person who's in possession of the shtar is now going to collect from other people from the Zman that was written in the original Shtar. So if we're not concerned about that, then yeah, sure, go write 10 duplicate Shtaros as a raya that this property is yours. I don't care. Or V'rabba amar b'shtar shein bo achrayis. Or Rabba says that we're talking about a shtar. Or Rabba says that we're talking about a shtar shein bo achrayis. That by a shtar shein bo achrayis, again, where it doesn't give the bearer of the shtar the right to go and collect from other people, then we don't care. Because the whole problem with having multiple shtaros is that if the shtar is a raya that you're allowed to collect from other people, you might use these multiple shtaros to go collect from many other people or from a date that it's inappropriate for you to have collected from. But if the shtar is solely serving as a raya, it's not going to enable you to collect from other people, then what do we care? Then you can have as many shtaros, and we can have as many shtaros as you want. Tosfos over here just says that by shtarei mekach umemkar kos ven chutz meach raya shabo. So v'yesh lomar dileel hachi perusha hu deamar avad shtar chovi u'meshaninan dil matarif adar tarif aval hacha mari b'shiyadu alonu shenevad orinu shenisraf. That just a couple of days ago, we saw, there's a whole procedure for writing a replacement shtar, right? If you claim that you lose your shtar, then you have to write the special formula that specifically there is no achrayas. So Tosfos says, that's where we don't know for sure that you lost it. Then we have to be sure that you write the special formula in the shtar specifically disclaiming achrayas to make sure, you should disclaim achrayas also, but specifically disclaiming achrayas to make sure that you can't collect from other people multiple times. But if there are edim, that if we saw that the shtar is lost, that the shtar is destroyed, then it would be possible, even without that disclaimer of achrayas, to write a replacement shtar. But that's why Rav says, ordinarily speaking, edim are not able to do their shlichus again after they finish their shlichus. They cannot write multiple shtaros. Why over there could they write multiple shtaros? Because we're talking about a funky shtar, either a shtar matana or a shtar mecher without achrayas. But if it's a shtar that will enable the malva to collect from other people, edim can't do that. Only basin can do that. That's why Rav holds his shita. So says the Gemara, my brisa. What's this brisa that we're referring to? So the Tanya, we learn like this. Let's say if a person loaned 1,000 zuz, 500 was paid back. That the Edim, let's say the loan again took place today on July 12th, and it was a loan for $1,000. On August 12th, $500 was paid back. So on August 12th, the Edim will take back the shtar of $1,000 that the Malva is holding, replace it with a shtar of $500 that will be backdated July 12th, so as to enable the Malva to collect even from Lekuchos who bought in the interim, even from Lekuchos who bought from the Lova between July 12th and the date of partial repayment. So that's what Rav Yehuda's Shita is. Rav Yossi Omer Shtar Zeh Yemunach Bemkomo, no. What you do is you leave the shtar in its place. In other words, you allow the malva to keep his $1,000 shtar. V'yichtevu shover, and you write a shover. You're going to write a receipt and give the lover a receipt showing that he paid back $500. U'memnesh nedvar mamru kosven shover. And for two reasons, Rav Yossi said that we should write a shover as opposed to replacing the malva shtar with another shtar. Number one, achas kadei sheyachov leporo. One is so that the malve should be able to force the love to pay him back. Now, why is this forcing the love to pay him back? Because the love is going to be very, very nervous. Because the love knows right now he has a receipt that shows that he paid back $500. Now, the love also knows that if he loses the receipt that he paid back the $500, the malve is sitting on a shtar for $1,000. So if he loses the receipt, the malva is actually going to be able to collect the original value, the original amount of the loan. And that is going to induce the lova to pay back, that's going to induce the lova to pay back more quickly. Why is this all appropriate according to Rav Yossi? Because Rav Yossi explains it's very appropriate because you see, when you loan somebody money, when the balance of the loan is very large, they're very eager to pay it back because it's weighing on them. But then when the balance is taken down and it gets very small, so they get a little bit lax. So it's much more difficult to coax the last bit of money out of somebody. Now, if you're sitting on a promissory note that says $1,000 instead of $500 or $1,000 instead of $50, then the guy is not going to be so lax in paying you back, because even though he'll say, yeah, whatever, it's only $50, he doesn't need the money, blah, 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 the malva is sitting on a note for $1,000, you could be pretty sure the guy's going to want to pay him back. And according to Rabbi Yossi, this is all appropriate. V'achas, now this, the other reason in the Gemara why we write a shover and why we appropriately write a shover is k'deisha yigve mizman rishon, so that you should, that the malva should be able to collect from the zman rishon, because if we only write a replacement shtar, then the assumption is that we're going to write the replacement shtar from the date that the replacement shtar is written, and then the malva is going to lose the ability to collect from the zman rishon. So says the Gemara, well, I don't understand that second part. But Rav Yehuda nami mizman rishon kama. Rav Yehuda also says that what we're doing is we let the guy collect from the zman rishon because we write the shtar mizman rishon. So says the Gemara, hachi kama le Rav Yossi le Rav Yehuda. This is what Rav Yossi is saying to Rav Yehuda. E mizman rishon kamrit, if you hold that when you write the replacement shtar, you actually write the replacement shtar mizman rishon sa paligna lecha b'chada. So then I argue with you on only one thing. I argue with you that you write a shover not because I'm concerned about zman rishon, but because I want to incentivize the lova to pay back the loan already. However, imizman sheni kamrit, however, if you say that you write down the shtar, that you write on the date of the shtar mizman sheni from the date that the replacement shtar was written, then paligna lecha b'tarti. Then I argue with you on two things. Number one, I argue with you on whether you collect from zman rishon or zman sheni. And number two, I argue that we should properly write a shover because the shover incentivizes the lova to pay back more quickly. Tosfos just points out over here the obvious in Divrei Maskil Mizman that Rav Yehuda lo pirish lo Rav Yossi Mizman Rishon aval Brisa Yishnuya b'milsei de Rav Yehuda lefia emes. That Rav Yehuda, when he was having the machlokas face to face with Rav Yossi, he obviously never expressly stated that when you rip up the shtar, you write the second shtar mizman rishon, because in the back and forth, it's clear that Rav Yossi wasn't sure where Rav Yehuda held on this. Even though the Brisa says you write the shtar mizman rishon, the second shtar is mizman rishon. That's the Brisa explaining Rav Yehuda's words. When Rav Yehuda and Rav Yossi were having the back and forth debate, Rav Yehuda never specified. That's where Rav Yossi responds in this way: oh, if you mean mizman rishon, then I'm arguing with you on one issue. And if you mean mizman sheni, then I'm arguing with you on both issues. That's what Tosfos explains. Okay, says the Gemara, now switching gears to a slightly different concept. We'll see it's tied to the machlokas of whether you write a shover or not. So Tanu Rabbanan, shtar shezmano kosov b'shabes o b'echad o b'asara b'tishrei. A shtar that is dated either on Shabbos or on the 10th of Tishrei, which is obviously Yom Kippur. And the Rashbam says, what type of shtar are we talking about? We're talking about not that the actual date of the shtar was written in Hebrew, that it was written on Shabbos, or that the date of the shtar was in Hebrew and it was written Yud Tishrei, because nobody who cares about writing dates on a shtar is going to date a shtar on Shabbos or on Asara B'Tishrei, but rather, says the Rashbam, Kagon, this is on the second medium-sized line, Kagon b'mekomo shemonim l'chodesh hachama. This is in a place where we write on the shtaros the date in the solar calendar, v'kosa b'shtar b'tezvav l'yerach ploni, and for example, let's say we write it on July 12th, today's date, u'kshonu niskaken l'chave masa ira yom tezvav shalosa chodesh, and when we look to see on the Hebrew-English calendar what Hebrew date July 12th fell on, nimtza onoso b'yom Shabbos. It comes out, instead of a Wednesday like it is today, it's coming on Shabbos. Oh, ba'asiri l'chodesh, or ba'asiri l'tishrei, or it's coming out on Yom Kippur, dani Yom Kippur. V'akol yodin shlo nichtav lo b'Shabbos lo b'yom Kippurim. Everybody knows that the shtar wasn't written on Shabbos, it wasn't written on Yom Kippur. V'nimtza shlo nichtav bosu ayom ha'mochiach b'shtar, ela o muktamu u'pasol o mu'uchor u'kosher. So we know it wasn't written on the date in the shtar. So if we know it wasn't written on the date in the shtar, that leaves us with two choices. It was either a backdated shtar, or it was a postdated shtar. So either it's going to be puzzle if it's a backdated shtar, or it's going to be kosher if it's a postdated shtar. But says the Gemara, shtar me'uchar v'kosher. Divrei Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says it's a shtar me'uchar, and it is going to be kosher. So Tosfos, so the Rashbam over here at the end of this long Rashbam, we're not going to read everything inside, but he basically says, Okay, so we know that there were two choices. We know it wasn't written on the date of the shtar. We know it's either a backdated shtar, in which case it's going to be pasul, or it's going to be a postdated shtar, in which case it's going to be kosher. So if we have either of these two options, so why do we assume that it's a shtar mu'uchar and it's going to be kosher? It could easily be a shtar muktam and it's going to be pasul. So he says, yeah, because the shtar itself has a chazaka that it's kosher, and therefore, unless you prove that it's pasul, unless you prove that it's a shtar muktam, if there's a suffix and there's a way to explain what's going on with the shtar in a manner that is going to enable us to verify the shtar and to validate the shtar, we're going to do that. So until you conclusively prove to us that it was muktam, we're going to assume it's mukhar. The one thing we know is that it was not written on the date that the shtar claims was written on. So we are going to maintain the cheskas kashrus, and we're going to say that it's a shtar mi'uchar. Rav Yossi posel, and Rav Yossi says the shtar is posel. We don't know what's going on with the shtar, it's posel. So I'm a little Rav Yehuda, so says Rav Yehuda, well, says Rav Yehuda to Rav Yossi, how could you say that a shtar like this is possible? I thought that you were done a din on a shtar like this in Sipori, and you said that that type of shtar was kosher. Summer low, so he said to him, when I was machshir, the shtar, I was machshir with a shtar like this. In other words, what's bezeh? Bezeh explains the Rashbam. Shakosov zmana b'shabbos v'yom kippur mecharti. Shemitocho makiach shelo nichta bezmano. Sharei in Yisrael kosven shoros b'shabbos v'yom kippurim. Va'kol yavinu shehu meuchar. Everybody understands that this shtar is post dated. V'lo nufik minei churva kedol kaimon. And there's not a chance that a churva is going to that an iniquity, which we're going to explain in the Gemara, what's the iniquity we're worried about. But there's no chance that this iniquity is going to happen. However, by a regular shtar mu'uchar, where the shtar was dated, a date that is fit for a shtar to be written on, and we don't know, it won't become known if this is a shtar mu'uchar or not. In that situation, I argue on you, I claim that shtar is going to be puzzle, even the post-dated shtar is going to be puzzle, for the reason that we're going to see on Amud Beis. Okay, but says the Gemara, V'ha Rav Yehuda Nami Bazek Kamar, but well, hang on a second. Rav Yossi just agreed that where the Zman of the Shtar is Mochiach, that it couldn't have been written when it claims it was written, and that's a Shtar Mukher, it's going to be Kosher, and that was the case that Rav Yossi said was Kosher in the Maisen Sipori. In our Gemara, they're arguing Davka about that sort of Shtar, that it's written in, that the date written in the shtar is not a date that the shtar could have been written on, yet we see that Rav Yossi's arguing on Rav Yehuda. So what's that about? So Vav Rav Yehuda Nami Bazek Kamar. So Rabbi Pitas, says like this, Hakol Modem Shemus Kaknu Lo Noso Shel Shtar. Everybody agrees that if we delve into the date on the shtar, V'nimtzei So Noso Mechavenes B'Shabes Obatzar B'Tishrei, and it turns out that the date of the shtar, the date that's written in the shtar, corresponds to a Shabbos or corresponds to Yom Kippur, Shashtar Mu'uchar Hu V'Kosher, then it's a Shtar Mu'uchar and it's going to be Kosher, again, because as the Rashbam says, that if somebody comes to Pasul a Shtar, he has to bring a Raya that the Shtar is Pasul, and therefore, if we can either assume that it's Muktam and Pasul or Mu'uchar and Kosher, we're going to assume it's Mu'uchar unless you bring a real Raya that it's muktam. Tosfos explains over here just parenthetically, which is the way that I explained the Gemara, that when we deal with a shtar, that imus kaknu lo noso shel shtar v'nimtzei so noso mechavenes, it doesn't mean that we're not dealing with a case where there's a Hebrew date written in the shtar. We're obviously, and this is the way the Rashbam explained also, we're dealing with a case where there's a date that's a secular date, and when you actually try to convert the secular date into the Hebrew date, it turns out that that day actually fell out on Shabbos, or that day actually fell out on Yom Kippur. But in any event, that Rabbi Pedas says, everybody agrees that if we're dealing with this type of weird shtar mukhar, where we assume it's a shtar mukhar only because it cannot have been written on the date that it purports to have been written on, then it's going to be kosher. Flipping over to Kuf Ayin Aleph and Beis, Lo Nechleku Ela B'Shtar Me'uchar Ba'alma. They only argue by a regular Shtar Me'uchar. In other words, by a Shtar that's written, that was really written on July 12th, but instead of July 12th, they claim it was written on July 14th. Neither of those dates is a Shabbos. Neither of those dates is Yom Kippur. We simply have a gap of two days. Doesn't really work for what the Chorva that the Gemara is going to be concerned is. So let's say we have a Shtar that's written on July 12th, and instead of July 12th, you're going to say that it's written on September 12th. And let's pretend now, I don't have a calendar in front of me, let's pretend that September 12th is not a Shabbos. So we'll see what the Gemara is going to be concerned with. Lo nechleku ela b'shtar me'uchar ba'alma. The Rav Yudah l'tamei, the Amar ein kosven shovar. Rav Yudah says that we don't write a shovar below nafik mine chorva, and therefore no chorva is going to occur. We're going to see in a second what this chorva is. However, Rav Yossi letame diamar kosvin shovar vin nafik mine chorva. Rav Yossi goes according to his reason, who says that you do write a shovar, and therefore a chorva is going to befall you. So what is the what is the chorva that is going to befall you over here? So the chorva that's going to befall you is the chorva that's going to befall you is as follows. So let's say if you have a shtar and then the loan is made on July 12th, but instead of July 12th, the shtar is dated September 12th. Now on August 12th, in the middle, the lova is going to go and he's going to pay back $500, or he's going to pay back, or maybe he's going to pay back the whole loan. So when the lova goes to pay back the loan, he's going to say to the malve, give me my shtar, I want my shtar back. Let's say the pashas, he wants to pay back the whole loan, because we'll see there's a difference. So he wants to pay back the whole loan, he says, give me my shtar back. And the malva is going to say, I'm sorry, I lost your shtar, but I'll write a shover. So the malva will hold his shtar for $1,000, that's dated September 12th. He'll write him a shover, a receipt dated on August 12th, you came back to me and paid me $1,000. Now, after September 12th, the malva is going to go to the lova with that original shtar, which was post-dated September 12th, and say, you owe me $1,000. Lova is going to say, what are you talking about? I repaid you on August 12th. The malva is going to say, this shtar is dated September 12th. You borrowed $1,000 from me again after the date that you paid me back. That's the chorva. Now, it's a chorva only, according to Rav Yossi, who says kosven shover. Because if I'm going to write a shover, then I'm going to have a problem if I'm dealing with a post-dated shtar. However, if according to Rav Yudah, ain kosven shover, if according to Rav Yudah, you don't write a shover, then a post-dated shtar makes no difference, because I'm never going to be in position where I'm having the loan repaid without returning the shtar. So I'm never going to have the shtar in my possession where I could dupe the lova into saying, oh, I gave you the receipt, the receipt's dated August 12th, now I have a shtar dated September 12th that I could collect from again because it represents a new loan. So that's the chorva. So says the Gemara, four lines down, a little bit weiter, Samar Avuna Bered Rav Yeshua, Filu Mandiyamar Kosven Shover. So says the Gemara, even according to the Mandiyamar, it says Kosven Shover, Hani Mili Apalga. The reason is that's only if part of the loan is repaid. Aval Akula Lo. However, on the entire balance of the loan, then we're not going to write a shover. Why? The Rashbam says, because it's the Malva's fault. The Malva has a shtar for $1,000. He should be careful to watch a shtar for $1,000 to make sure that he doesn't lose it. If he does lose it, too bad, so sad. We're very sorry, Malva, but you're not going to be able to collect. Says the Gemara of Velohi, that distinction is not a meaningful distinction. Afilu akule kasvinan. We write a shover, according to the Mandemar, who says that kosven shover, we write a shover even on the entire balance of the loan. Ki hod Rav Yitzchak Rav Yosef, like Rav Yitzchak Rav Yosef, ave masik bezuzi brababa, he loaned $1,000 to Rababa. Asa lekame de Rav Chanina bar Papi, so he came before Rav Chanina bar Papi, and Amar Le, and he said, Havli Zuzoi, give me my money. Amar Le, Havli Shtari. So Rav Abba said, okay, I'll give you your money, but give me the Shtar Alva back, Vishkol Zuzcha, and then go take your money back. Amar Le, Shtar Irchasli. So he said, well, I lost my Shtar. So Echtov Lechatavra. So Rav Chanina said, I lost my Shtar, but I will write you a Shover. So Rav Yitzchak said, I'm sorry, I lost your Shtar. star, but I'm going to write you a shovar. Amar le, but Sabaya said, Rav Shmuel damri tavayu, but Rav and Shmuel, they both said that ain kosfin shovar, that we don't write a shovar, so you're up a creek because you no longer have the star, and the only way I'm going to pay you back is if you give me back the star. So Amar, that who can give us from the ashes of Rav and Shmuel that we'll be able to rub our eyes with the ashes? This is a very weird language, but it's a lashon kavod, explains the Rashbam, that he was saying that, oh my gosh, Rav and Shmuel, such great such holy amoraim, that they hold ein kosfin shover, we're really deferential to them. However, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakesh, Damri Tavayu, Kosfin Shover. However, Rav Yochanan Reish Lakesh hold that in fact we do write a Shover. Bechein Kiyasa Ravin, Amar Rav Elai, Kosfin Shover. So in other words, it's nice that Rav and Shmuel said, hey, Kosfin Shover, but we have many holy Amaram who said that we do write a Shover. Umistabra the Kosfin Shover, and it's Mistabra that we write a Shover for the Malve, if the Malve loses the original Shtar, so he can't return the Shtar when the loan is repaid. The Isal Kadaitach, in Kosvin Shover, because if you want to say that we don't write a Shover, so Avad Shtaro Shalzeh, if the Malve loses a Shtar, Yochel Halav Chadi, then the Love should benefit, the Love should never have to repay the loan, and he should rejoice because the Malve lost the Shtar. So says the Gemara, well, look at the flip side. Maskefla Abaya, Velamai, Kosvin Shover, Se'elamai, you should write a Shover. Avad Shovro Shalzeh, if the Love loses his Shover, Yochel Halav V'chadi, then the Malve should be able to collect again the full amount of the loan that's written in the Shtar and rejoice. So in other words, either way, whether you do write a Shover or you don't write a Shover, there's a risk that somebody's going to get messed over. So why? So you can't bring this type of proof as to why we would or wouldn't write a shover. Some are lay Rava. So Rava says, no, yes, we can. In Eved Love Leish Malve, because Eved Love Leish Malve, as the Rashbam says, Mutav Sheyetareach V'Daiga Shmira Shtar Mutal Alalove Yoser Men Amalve. We're in a position where somebody is going to have to assume a higher burden and an obligation to watch his shtar. Either it's the malve or it's going to be the love. And if we're in a position where somebody is going to have this burden imposed on them, better to impose the burden on the love as opposed to the malve, because eved love lish malve. It's mamish, almost like a servant master relationship if you owe somebody money. So says the Gemara like this. Says the Gemara Vayter. Tanan Hasam, Shtarechov Hamukdamin Psulin, Shtarechov that are Mukdam, that are backdated, are Pasul, Vamukharim Ksherim, and that are postdated are going to be Kusher. Samara Vamnuna, Lo Shanu El Shtare Halva, we only learn this by Shtare Halva, Avashtore Mecha Chumemkar, Afilu Mukharin Nami Psulin. Even a postdated Shtar is going to be Pasul. So my time, why by Shtar Mecha Chumemkar is a postdated Shtar Pasul? Zimnin de Mizvin Le Ara Benisan, because sometimes you're going to sell land in Nisan, Viksivle B'Tishrei, but you're going to date the Shtar in Tishrei by Rosh Hashanah time. Umisrami Le Zuze Beni Beni, and the Mocher is going to come into money in the interim, Bizovin Le Mine, and is going to buy the property back. V'chimati Tishrei Mafikle V'yamar Hadars Vintaminach. But then the Lokeach, when Tishrei comes around, is going to go to the Mocher and present the Shtar to the Mocher and say, hey, you sold me this karka again. Yes, it's true. I bought it from you in Nisan, and then you bought it back. But now the Shtar is dated Tishrei. I bought it from you again. You have to give me the karka. So just before we get to the continuation of the Gemara, the Rashbam explains that we're dealing over here with a practice which was very common in the times of the Gemara, that if somebody had a karka but lacked liquidity, what he would do is he would sell his karka to somebody else, and the understanding was that when the mocher came into some money, came into some liquid cash, he would go buy the karka back from the lokeach. So it was sort of like a way to use this as a loan. Says the Gemara elsewhere, that's why if this type of arrangement without any other sort of safeguards is what it sounds like, it seems like ribbis, because it is ribbis. the mocher is selling the karka to the lokeach. The mocher knows that he's going to buy the karka back whenever he gets money. And in the interim, the lokeach is eating the peros of the karka. So that's ribbis. So unless you have to make safeguards here to make sure that it's not, but that's the situation, that's the scenario that we're dealing with here in the Gemara. But in any event, the concern was, if you're going to postdate the shtar, it might be sold and bought back before the date on the shtar. So then when the date on the shtar rolls around, the lokeach is going to be able to go to the mocher and claim that he bought it back again. So that's the problem. But says the Gemara, Iyachi shtari alva nami. But if that's the case, and also bashari alva zimnin the yosef benisan, could be that you're going to borrow money in Nisan, the kosev le shtara betishrei, and you're going to write the shtar in Tishrei, umisrami le zuzei beni beni, and you're going to pay back the loan at parale, and you're going to pay back the loan in the interim. Let's say you're going to pay back the loan in Tammuz. V'yomer le'avli shtaroi, and you're going to say, give me back the shtar so that I can pay you back. V'amalei irchusli, and you're going to say, I lost the shtar. The malva is going to say, I lost the shtar. V'ksivle tavra, and he's going to write a receipt. V'chimotiz mani mafik le v'yomer le hani hashtu diyazav t'minoi. And then when Tishrei rolls around, the malva is going to whip out the shtar for $1,000 and is going to tell the love, this is on account of a new loan that you borrowed from me. So ksovar ein kosfin shovar, because we hold that ein kosfin shovar, and that's why we are not afraid of this churva. So first of all, we should just point out that this whole idea of double collection is the churva that the Gemara was nervous about before, that if you're going to write a shovar, then we're afraid that you're ultimately at the end going to whip out the shtar, that the unscrupulous malva is going to really have the shtar in his possession, is going to whip out the shtar and try to collect twice. But that's why this man d'yomar holds ein kosfin shovar, and if you don't write a shovar, then we're not concerned about these shenanigans with a post-dated shtar. The Gemara tomorrow is going to discuss why aren't there ways around this, even if we do write a shovar. Like, for example, put a date in the shovar, or write in the shovar that this shovar is in respect of a loan that's evidenced by a shtar dated in Tishrei. That way you can't come back with a shtar dated Tishrei. So we'll see all that in the continuation of the Gemara, God willing, tomorrow.